welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Yeah, praise God, man. It's always a privilege to come to Pretoria. Love you guys a lot. Got an amazing heart for Jesus. You can really see that. And it's always a privilege to come and share the word with you guys. I'm humbled by the opportunity. And I just want to say that, man, God is for you. God loves you. There's nothing that's impossible for God if we completely surrender to His will. And it was just amazing just to worship again. It was just so lovely to just to be ushered into the presence of God and just to sing about the glory of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, the lordship of God, you know. Whenever I think about God, God had to do a lot in my life and show me. Moet ek hierdie ding 'n bietjie opstel? Is dit reg so? Okay. Sê maar net. Ek doen net wat jy vir my sê. Pas. So, you know, God really had to work with me on just on His grace and His love. Because something that I do understand a bit is the glory of God, is the awesomeness of God, is the might of God. And, you know, he's a king. And he showed me the last couple of years just how that intertwines with His love and with His grace. Yeah, so much else I want to say, but I'm not going to because I'm going to get completely sidetracked. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank You for this evening. I thank You, Lord God, for every person sitting here. That's a divine appointment, Lord God, that You have with everyone here. And I just submit, Lord God, my tongue and my mind and my spirit unto You, Lord God, unconditionally. And I pray, Lord God, that You will move between us, that You will make every heart receptive for Your word and for Your glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I'm really blessed by that last song as well. Jesus, love of my soul, because the words in that song is so significant. And something that I learned from a few pastors back under whom I submitted was that when you worship, it's not a mindless act. Worship is amazing. You know, and when we worship, we're actually declaring unto God whatever those words are. So, and these words are really striking. It says, it's all about You, Jesus. And all this is for You. It's for Your glory and fame. It's not about me, as if You should do things my way. Because You alone are God. And I surrender to Your ways. That's huge, man. That's significant, you know. To say, it's all about You, I surrender to Your ways. And the challenge that I'm going to put before us tonight is, do we? Do we surrender to His ways? Is it all about Jesus? Or am I also playing a big part in this relationship? Is it all about my will and my ways? For some it is, for others it's not. And tonight's message is going to be a bit challenging, I suppose. But I can assure you that it comes from a heart of love and a heart that really wants to see that the glory of God gets fulfilled in everyone's life. That His purposes will prevail no matter what. Because it's not about us. It's about the King above all kings. The Lord above all lords. We are living in a kingdom. And in a kingdom, there's a king. And that king, whatever he says, his servants, his officers, whatever, all of them, they obey him. Because the king knows what he's doing, especially in Jesus' kingdom. He knows everything. And tonight we're just going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a bondservant. That's a big word, man, bondservant. The Greek word for that is doulos. And it's significant, it's very important for us to understand what it means to be a bondservant in context of having a relationship with God. I'm just going to put this thing a little bit higher, just warning you at the back there. Maybe we can sort out the feedback issue. So, when we want to talk about being a bondservant, we must actually go into the history of Israel and understand what they went through and why God has given us this, you can almost say this law of the bondservant. So let's just look a little bit at Israel's history. They were in slavery for 400 years, right? In Egypt. And God gave them a miraculous escape from Egypt. And guys, so by the way, it's a miracle when a whole nation escapes another nation. That's huge, man. I don't know. You never thought about it. I thought about it. Like, wow, that's amazing. So, you know, God allows a way of escape for this whole nation, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 million people, to escape Egypt and to go on their way to his promised land. That's supposed to be a 12-day, 13-day trip. Took them, unfortunately, 40 years for many reasons that we're not going to go into tonight. But God made that escape for them. And one of their first major pit stops was Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, God gave them the Ten Commandments. And when they got to Mount Sinai, God displays his glory in a very magnificent way, because there's a lot of thunder, there's a lot of lightning, there's trumpets blowing, heavenly trumpets blowing. The mountain starts to shake, and you know, everyone's like, whoa, man, this is huge. And I'm backing off here. And all 1.2, 1.3 million people back off from this mountain. They're like, this is just odd, you know? I mean, just look at what's happening here. And they tell Moses, listen, Moses, you go tell God that we will do whatever he tells us to do, we'll do it. Because this is freaky. And the reason why they see that as freaky, remember, they've got a legacy. They have seen how God has worked in their forefathers, all the way back to Abram, from Abram to Noah, from Noah to Adam. They've seen how God has provided and how he responds to people that respond to him. So, through Joseph and Jacob, those stories were transferred from generation to generation. But the reason why they couldn't relate to that God that manifests himself in that powerful way, the reason why they couldn't relate to him in love, is because all they knew was fear. They were for 400 years, that is 8, 9, 10 generations, under fear. The Egyptians have long forgotten Joseph and all the other boykies that came in and made Egypt, you know, Egypt a cool place, helped it to prosperity. And for 400 years, they were driven by a whip. Whether they did something wrong or whether they did something right, it didn't matter. They were driven by a whip. And all they knew was fear. But God is like, you know, I don't want fear-driven servants in my kingdom. That is not my heart. That is what I do not desire that for my people. Because you get, obviously, you get a holy fear, a good fear of God, and you get an unhealthy fear of God. Yeah? And these Israelites had an unhealthy fear of God. What is an unhealthy fear of God in a modern day context, so by the way? You know what? If I don't pray today, I'm going to lose my job. If I don't read the Bible regularly enough and make sure that God sees it, I'm not going to find the marriage partner that I want so badly. Yeah? We apply all these laws to ourselves and say, if I do that, then God will do that. And that's not the truth. That is an unhealthy fear of God. But God wants us, he wants servants who serve him because they have a love for him.
It is from our heart that flows from streams of living water. And because of an understanding of what He has done for us. And I have to challenge us on this, is how often do we think of what Jesus has done for us? Do we meditate on that? Do we meditate on what God has done for us, my friends? Or do we forget very quickly that He actually not only saved us from eternal condemnation, eternal punishment, but that He actually has given us a hope that is so glorious that we cannot fathom it on this earth. When we're going to stand before Jesus, when we're going to walk through the doors of heaven, we're going to just sit there.
Wow. It's going to blow our mind away.
Oh, what we're going to see.
The glory of God. God's kingdom, the new Jerusalem.
That's not going to be only a heavenly Jerusalem, but it's coming down to earth. There is such an amazing hope that is lying in front of us. And I need to ask us, how often do we think about this? Do we meditate on these things? Because if we don't, it's very easy to fall in a pool of selfishness. In a pool of self-absorbedness. Where it's all about me. And not about you, Jesus. Yeah? I will throw the first challenge out to keep our minds focused on Jesus, what He's done for us, and where we are going because of Him. So God wants servants who serve Him in love and in appreciation for what He's done. And one of the very first rules that God lays down to the nation of Israel at the Mount of Sinai is the law of the bondservant, the law of doulos. And we're going to, our primary key scripture tonight is Exodus 21, 1 to 6. That says the following. Now these are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, and the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, look at verse 5, but if the slave plainly says, I love my master, that's number one, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Now, so before we go on, remember that the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament and the things that's to come in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ, right? Do you guys know that? Who knew that? Okay, most of you. The Old Testament always points to the Messiah and always points to that what is fulfilled in the New Testament. And when we read the Old Testament, remember that it is a natural picture of a spiritual truth. Say that again. Old Testament, what you see happen physically to the Israelites is actually a picture of spiritual truth. So whenever I read the Old Testament, I need to ask God, God, what spiritual truth, what spiritual significance is in this passage that you want to reveal to me? And it will always be revealed through Jesus. Everything in Scripture is about Jesus. So, it's important that when we read Exodus 21, 1 to 6, we need to understand that in a spiritual sense and try to make sense of that in a spiritual perspective for 2012. Because the Old Testament is not just history. It's not just a history book. It teaches us so much. Now, when we talk about the law of the bondservant, first thing we need to remember or know is that it does not include a hireling. Who's heard of the term hireling before? 10 people. Do you guys go to Bible school? Huh? Let's go to Bible school. We're going to learn these things. Hireling is someone who, let's say,
Donnie and I are in an agreement. I go work for Donnie 8 hours a day for a week. That's 40 hours a week. I do whatever he wants me to do. Well, not whatever, but, you know, anything that's okay. And he pays me. Yeah? So I give him my services. I give him my labor. And he gives me mula, money, in exchange. Yeah? That is a hireling. I'm exchanging something to Don. So if I'm at my work, I'm actually a hireling there. Right? I'm exchanging my services in order to receive a payment. But this law does not apply to a hireling. The law of the bondservant. When we talk about the law of the bondservant, what we can see here, according to Exodus 21, is that a slave actually lives under his master for 6 years. For no compensation. He has to do what his master tells him. He stays there. He became a slave for whatever reason. Maybe he had lots of debt and he couldn't pay it back. So he sold himself unto the master. And he serves the master for 6 years without any compensation. But after 6 years, he must be set free according to the law of God. I know of no other nation that's got this law in place. This is the law given by God. Because he said, no man or woman will ever be enslaved forever in my nation. Because I want to see people set free. And he says, after 6 years, you have to let that slave go without any charge. Yeah? And now, this slave has got an option. He's got an option to stay with the master or to go his own route. This is the option that he has. But if he stays, why will he stay?
It says it.
But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, why for children? Because of his love for his master. That is the only reason why a slave would stay. Now, when you look at the word master, the word master there in Hebrew is Adonai. Adonai means my Lord. Or the Lord. Yeah. So this is my Lord. I love the Lord. I love my Lord. And therefore I will stay in his house. That's basically what that passage is saying. But what also we need to understand here is, and this is quite important, so I want you to listen up now. Forgot your attention, say amen. Okay. When a slave says to his master, to Adonai, to his Lord, I'm going to stay with you. I've got the option to go free, but I'm going to stay with you. What is his default choice? Not to be free. Yeah? You agree with that? He's got the option to go free, but he says, I'm not going to choose that option. I choose to stay with you in your household. So my default choice is I do not choose freedom. Keep that in mind. So the master of the 6 years says, you can go, you're free. You can go do whatever you want. In other words, I can choose my path of life if I'm a slave, if I've been set free. I can choose what career I want to pursue. I can choose which marriage partner I want to marry. I can choose what I will keep close to my heart. I can choose what I will spend my time on. I can choose how I will handle my finances. I'm free. I can go do whatever I want. But if I say to my master, if I say to my Lord, I will serve you forever. I do not choose to walk that way. Then I submit my choices to my master. I submit my choices to Adonai, the Lord. And he gives up his freedom because of his choice to serve his master all the days of his life. But now, this guy who was a slave is not a slave any longer. Now he becomes what we call a doulos, a bondservant. He's not labeled as a slave any longer. Now he is labeled as a bondservant. And there's a big difference.
That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Paul described himself as a bondservant. James described himself. Peter, Jude, John, all these great apostles described themselves with a bondservant as a bondservant, and they didn't have an issue being a bondservant. Jesus described himself as a bondservant. He came and said, I've not come to do my will, but the will of my Father. I say what I hear my Father say. I do what I see my Father do. Not my will be done, but your will be done. So the first lesson that we can take from this is that a slave can give up his freedom in order to become a willing bondservant. Does that make sense? You've got that choice. I can give up my freedom in order to become a bondservant. But why? Why would I do that? Because of my love for the master. Because of my love for Adonai. Now, I have to throw it in there. Do you think that this master is a good master? Yes, no? Of course. Why will a slave willingly submit himself to an evil master? Doesn't make sense. You will only submit yourself to a master that you know is good. Yeah? That treats you well, actually. Only then will a slave submit himself to that master. And this decision to submit myself to this master is not based on fear or guilt. It's not based on condemnation. It's not based on intellectual assent. It's based on the condition of the heart. I love you and I choose to serve you. And I choose not only to serve you, I choose to serve all your desires. I am committed to your prosperity, in other words. That's what a bondservant does. I submit myself, I surrender myself unto you. And I will do everything in my power to see that you prosper. That your house prospers. And when we look at this motivation to serve this master, we must understand, like I said, it's not based on fear, intellectual assent, but because of my relationship to this master, because of this love that flows out of my belly for this master. And you know what? To this day, God is looking for people who serve Him because of love. Because of appreciation for what He's done on our behalf. His primary focus is not what I do with my hands, but what is going on in my heart. Because I can give God my hands, I can give God even my mind, but if God doesn't have my heart, He doesn't have me. And that is what God is interested in. He's interested in me first. My heart first. And there's an unfortunate tendency in church today that a lot of people serve God with their hands in church, but their wills are not surrendered to the King of Glory. They do it out of obligation. They do it out of necessity. They do it because they feel they have to. They feel guilty about something. And God's like, I'm not interested in that. I want surrendered, circumcised heart that comes from a heart of overflow. You know what? We can't change that. If we're in that position where we feel obligated, I need to go repent to God because I'm busy with dead works. And like I said in the previous service, guys, and I'm going to throw this challenge out to you as well. If you are serving and you do it because of obligation and you do it with a grumbling spirit and a critical spirit and you feel like I don't want to do this, get out. Don't do it. God would rather work with 5 people who's got surrendered hearts than 50 people who do it out of obligation. And God's going to accomplish 100 times more with the 5 people than He will with the 50. You know why? Because He won't speak to the 50. They all seem to be sorted out first. This is challenging. I know it, but I have to throw it out there. We need to come to a place where I serve God. I serve His vision, His kingdom, His desires from a heart of overflow, of joy, of thankfulness. Yes, Lord, I thank you for what you've done. What can I do in order to give back? We can't give God anything except our lives. That's it. And our lives, as we will see shortly, it's not actually ours. It's Jesus's. So, when we look at Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, this is confirmed in the New Testament, says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your might. You see, true obedience is prompted by love. I'm going to say that again. True obedience is prompted by love. Not obligation. By love. And that begins in the heart. Can you see the sequence? Do we have Deuteronomy there or not? Probably missed it. Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. From the heart, it flows over into the consciousness. From the heart, it flows into my emotions. And from there, it flows over into works. I think I tick people off when I say the following, but so be it. I don't understand that thing of being burned out. I don't. Imagine I go to my wife and I tell her, listen, I'm actually burned out for you. Is that going to fly? It's not going to fly, is it? I love my wife. Yeah, sometimes she irritates me. It happens. I do the same a lot more. I probably take up a lot more than she does me. But how can I get burned out for my wife? I mean, I love the woman, for Pete's sake. You know? Now, if I look at God, as I love God, I want to know, how can I get burned out serving Him? I serve my wife. I love doing it. I actually do most of the dishes in the house. Guys, take a tip. That's a good tip. Helps a lot. And I serve in other areas, wherever I can. Yeah? Now, if I'm in the house of God, how can I get burned out serving God? I don't understand it. It's more got to do with the condition of the heart. Some people just take on too much. I understand that. And we need to protect them. There are some people that, you know, they feel they're Superman. And I understand, you know, but those people, they are so excited to give. That's a different scenario. You just need to hold them a bit back. They're like racing horses. How much more can I give? I understand that. But I'm talking about people, you know, it's like this is just a basic thing in serving God. And oh, this is such a burden. This is such a chore, man. But I will do it just to please you. But hey, I'm doing you a big favor, eh? Like, no, man, your heart's not right. That heart needs to be circumcised. That heart needs to come to a place of repentance before God. And say, Lord, you know what? My heart stinks. There's something in there that needs to change. And only God can change that. My friend, service towards God, serving Him, starts with the heart, flows over into the soul, and manifests through our hands. Now, I don't know about you, but I've definitely done this. Have you ever made a promise to God based on fear, based on anxiety? Maybe you were in a tough spot in your life somewhere. And at the time, you actually were very serious about this commitment that you made to God. And then a couple of weeks, couple of months, maybe a few years later, that commitment faded. And it actually doesn't manifest any longer. You do not commit that unto God any longer. Has anyone experienced that? I know I have. Yeah, thank you for your honesty. You know why that is? because that commitment was based on emotion. It wasn't a commitment from the heart. Emotions are fleeting. Emotions fly by. Commitment that is from an emotional point of view cannot last. It's a commitment from the heart that lasts. And that is the commitment that God is seeking from His people. A heart commitment. Because we love Him. Because we understand what He's done for us. And to this day, God is still looking for such a people. God is still looking for doulos people. Bond servants. The definition of a bond servant is being devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. That's big, man. Check that again. Being devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. Just to reiterate that. Say after me. Being devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. That's one of the definitions of doulos. You see, the servant, when he gives up his freedom, when he gives up his free will, he places himself under the master forever. But now the relationship between this master and this servant completely changes. Because the servant unconditionally surrender himself to the master and is committed to the prosperity of the master, not the prosperity of the servant. He's committed to the prosperity of the master, and in return, the master embraces him into his household and gives him protection, gives him covering, and looks after him. The relationship completely changes now. You see, by becoming a permanent servant, by being part of the household of the master, that family, that servant's family, will forever be taken care of. Now, when a servant decided to become a bond servant, decided to become a bond servant, what he would do is he will profess publicly, I'm going to be a bond servant of this master. All right? And he'll be taken into the square. Elders will gather. It's a confession before God. He says, I am a slave. I've got the option to go free, but I choose to be a bondservant. And then what they will do is they'll take the servant, and they took an awl. Who knows what an awl is? Three people. Okay. You do not know carpentry, do you? An awl is an else. An awl is about that long. It's got a very sharp point on the end, and it's used to make a hole in especially a hard wood, for whatever reason, to make a hole in wood. So you presses that into the wood, and you've got this hole in there. So what they do is they take the bondservant, they take his ear, put him on the door, that ear on the door of the master, they took that awl, and they push it right through his ear into the door. And there the servant is attached, literally, to the door of the master. Yeah? Signifying that he has become part of the household. Right? So everyone, I don't know how long he stood there, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe a day, depending how strong he was, you know. But he's attached to the door of this master. And it symbolizes that this person has now become part of the household of this master. So how does this relate to us today in 2012? Well, first of all, if I want to come to Adonai, if I want to come to the Lord, my Lord, then I need to become a bondservant first. I need to become a bondservant. And that means, I need your attention, that means I need to give up my free will. Postmodernistic teachings today, preachings today, do not like that. But my friends, if our will
is still high, if our will is still out there and we're trying to pursue our will, we cannot be a bondservant. We need to give up our free will. That means our free will to pursue every comfort that this world throws before you as standard, as your right. You know what? It's interesting, that whole thing about rights. In the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as rights. We've only got a right to become a child of God through Jesus. And that's the only right that we need. Because from there, He exercises the rights on our behalf. Why? Because He's a good master. He understands how to exercise a right on our behalf. And I'm going to throw this out as a challenge, but the world portrays that, you know what, you've got a right to your whatever, BMW 5 series, you've got a right to your 6-story house, you've got a right to a little farm, you've got your right to whatever, and you can pursue it at the cost of everything and anything. And I tell you, that is not biblical. The only thing that is biblical is that we should be surrendered to the will of God and not our own will. Too many Christians in today's church are pursuing their own will, their own desire, their own comfort, their own pleasures at the disregard of the house of Adonai. Or at the expense, I should say rather, at the house of Adonai. God is looking for bondservants, for people who are willing to surrender to Him unconditionally. That when He comes and He walks into my life and He says, JP, I want you to do this, then it's not, but Lord, it's yes, Lord. It's not, no, Lord, which, by the way, is a paradox. You cannot say no and Lord in one sentence. He's Lord. When the Lord speaks, it's yes, Lord. What is your will? What is your desire? What is your plan? What is your word? That is what I will pursue. And for all of us, it manifests in different ways. Some of you might be thinking that I'm saying you should all go into full-time ministry. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what is God's will for your life? Not what is your will for your life, what is God's will for your life? If He has called you to be an engineer, then you do it for His glory, not for your glory. If He's called you to be an accountant, you do it for His glory, not for your glory. There's nothing wrong with pursuing material stuff. Okay, I've said it. And I agree with that. But too many people use that as an excuse to be disobedient to God. And God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I promised you one thing. No, God promised us anything, sorry. But one of the things that God promised us is He will always take care of us. Always. Our definition of being taken care of needs to change. Because we succumb to the Joneses and not to God. We're being influenced by our culture and not by the Word of God. And God says, basta with that. I don't want your culture to determine your decisions. I want you to allow me to determine your decisions. To determine your will. To determine your pleasures. Because in that you will find freedom. In that you will see my glory. In that you will walk in my presence. You will hear my voice. And in that you will find the fulfillment that you've always desired. So one of the first things that we need to understand as bondservants is give up our free will. If the Lord speaks, if Adonai speaks, if the Master speaks, and I do it as I wish to do it, in whatever way I want to do it, when I feel like doing it, I'm not a bondservant. I'm a rebel. That's what I am. My friends, we must come to God in humility. We must declare our need and our dependence on Him and Him alone. Your degree will not prosper you. Your position at your job, whether you're a manager or a director or whatever, will not prosper you. And it will not fulfill you. The only one who can do that is the God of hosts. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings.
Many people want to commit to God, like I said, on their own terms, because they want Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. I'm going to say that again. And I'm actually thinking, I was speaking to a few people here tonight, that you want Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. You want to dictate terms to God. And God says, if you want to walk with me, you need to change that. I cannot be only your Savior. I am either both Savior and Lord, or I'm neither. This is the Word of God, my friends. I'm either both your Savior and your Lord, or I'm neither. And I know this is a challenging word for some, but I believe that God is wanting to do something in our hearts that will bring us to that place where He alone can work through us in the way that He desires, not in the way that we desire. And the reason why so many people struggle with this is because, again, like I said earlier, we've succumbed to a cultural viewpoint, a modernistic viewpoint where I have all these other rights, and God is saying them that, listen, you've got a right to do my will. You've got a right to do my will. You can do that. You can pursue the other stuff. But you're going to be like the nation of Israel, walking for 40 years in the desert instead of taking the 12-day shortcut. That trip to the promised land was 12 days, not 40 years. And God is saying, I want to give you the shortcuts, but you need to surrender. I cannot give you shortcuts if you don't surrender. I cannot give you shortcuts if you think you've got all the answers. I've got the answers. I'm God. I'm all wise. I know where I'm heading with your life. I have pre-purposed your destiny, your life, before I laid the foundations of the earth. But it will only come to pass if you surrender your life unto me. Unconditionally. Not on your terms. On my terms. You know, when we enter into a covenant with God, there's an exchange that takes place. And that exchange is an exchange of lives. As we surrender to God, as we become His bondservants and stay yielded and kneel down before Him and say, Lord, what is your will? What is your desire? What do you want me to do? And whatever that is, I will pursue that with all of my heart, because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I'm submitted to your ways. When that happens, an exchange takes place where Jesus' life are given unto us and everything that goes with that. That's a pretty good deal for us. In exchange, He gets our life, which is a pretty raw deal on Jesus' part. But He takes it anyway. You know why? Because for Jesus, nothing is impossible. He can take a broken, wretched, disgusting life, and He can change it around and use it for His glory. Why? Because He is able. Jesus says that I manifest my strength, I'm paraphrasing a bit, my strength through your weakness. Through your weakness, I show my strength. God doesn't need our strengths. That's why in many cases, God doesn't manifest Himself when we only focus on our strengths. It's when we are at weak places where God manifests Himself. Why? Because He can. He's able to. He says, give me your weakness, I will show you my glory. I will show you what I can do through you. if you entrust me with your weakness. So it's an exchange of lives taking place. And when it comes to this stuff, my friends, we can, you know what? Our money, we can keep our money. Our musical talent, we can keep that. We can keep our serving in church. We can keep our teaching, our prophetic anointing. We can keep all that stuff if our will is not surrendered to His will. God is interested in a surrendered will, a surrendered life. He's looking for surrendered hearts that surrender in love, not because I have to, not because I'm obligated. Hear me right, because I love my King. It's impossible to be a bondservant and to cling to my freedom. They're not compatible. A bondservant cannot cling to his own freedom. God desires to this day people who are saying, not my will be done, but your will be done. And Jesus, well, God sat in heaven, saw mankind, and realized they don't have a clue what it's about. So he sends his son Jesus to come and be a living example of what it means to be a bondservant. Jesus' whole life was a life of surrender. Jesus' whole life was a life of self-denial, of giving his will unto the Father, so that the Father's purposes, the Father's will, his kingdom, his house may prosper. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't too chuffed about the cup that was coming his way. He wasn't too chuffed about the cross coming his way. And his desire was, Father, let this cup pass me. I want to ask you, my friend, what is your desire in your heart? What is that desire that you so desperately want? And then Jesus said, but not my will be done, but your will be done. Are you willing to surrender that desire into the capable hands of the Father? Are you willing to give your will unto the will of the Lord? Unto the will of Adonai? Although Jesus didn't desire to go to the cross, he said, your will be done. And we know what happened as a result of that surrender. Because of that surrender of Jesus, mankind got saved. Those who trust unto him. What can God do with your surrendered desire? What can God do with your surrendered desire? I believe a lot. I believe if we give him our desire, we surrendered it to his will completely, he can do a lot with it. And he will do a lot with it. Because he sees the desire of our heart. And in many cases, he gives the desire of our heart. You know when? When that desire is surrendered to his will. I've got a very personal experience in that. Where there was something that I desired with, man, so much. I desired it so much. And I was struggling with this desire for many months, actually years. I was struggling with this desire. Just wanted to see this desire manifest. And I got so frustrated because it didn't happen. And then one day I went to God. I said, I kill this desire. I lay it at the cross. I will not pursue this desire unless it's born of you. But I walk away from this desire. I pursue you and you alone. I will pursue your purpose for this life. I will pursue your ways for this life. 2 weeks later, that desire was in my lap, given by God. I'm not saying it's going to happen to you. All I'm saying is, you can trust God with your desire. Because you know what? If that desire is not of God, he's not going to give it to you. But you know what he will give to you? It's a changed heart. where you don't pursue that desire any longer. Are you still with me? If you're with me, say amen. Praise God. Okay. Whew, got sidetracked. Okay, so Jesus demonstrated to us in the flesh what it means to be a bondservant. And I want to ask you, is your studies surrendered to God? Is your business surrendered to God? Is your future career, your current career, is it surrendered to God? What about your 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan? Is it surrendered to God? And are you willing that if God comes and He says, you know what, I actually want to change this 5, 10, 20-year plan of yours. I want to change it completely. Are you willing to say, yes, Lord? Not my will be done. Not my 5-year plan be done. Your 5-year plan be done. Not my 20-year plan be done. Your 20-year plan be done. Jesus showed us what we must become. A bondservant. So that we can hear the voice of God. Now this is an important point I want you to register. Because God doesn't speak to hirelings. God doesn't speak to slaves. God speaks to bondservants. And if you don't hear the voice of God, my friend, I want to maybe put it out there. Maybe you're not a bondservant. I've yet to come across a bondservant who does not hear the voice of God. A person who surrendered to the will of God and does not hear the voice of God. I've never come across that. Ever. There are seasons where God may be quiet, yes. Because we are looking for an answer and it's already given it to us. I've had that a couple of times. Where a couple of weeks later I read, oh, of course, man. How could I miss it? Sorry, God. I understand why you were quiet on that. You know? It's like He's in His Word. We must get into the Word, guys. We must know the Word. Why could Jesus hear the Father's voice so clearly? Because He was surrendered to His will. He was surrendered to His ways. The verse that struck me between the eyes the other day is John 7:17. I don't know how many times I've read that verse. But this really stood out for me. It says, if anyone's will is to do God's will, this is Jesus speaking here, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. If anyone's will, if he's will, how else do you say that? If his will is to do the will of the Father, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. Guys, we will never understand spiritual things until we surrender to the will of God. Can I say that again? We will never understand spiritual things until we are surrendered to the will of God. God doesn't reveal Himself to us when we're not committed to Him. He wants to reveal Himself to us in a very personal way. But He does so with those who are committed to Him, who are surrendered to Him. Because of a heart of love. Not because, again, I have to. But because I love this Master. I love this Adonai. And Jesus is very clear on the manifestation of love. Guys, we must be very careful not to take the love of God and use it outside of a biblical context. The love of God is eternal. God is faithful forever. Jesus also made it very clear what the manifestation of love is. As we can see in the next verse, John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments
and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Not because I have to, not because of guilt, not because I'm driven by some kind of weird thing, because I love him. Because I love God, I keep his commandments, Jesus says, that is proof of your love for me. And we don't preach about this a lot, do we? But this is the word of God. And we will never shy away from the truth. Right? Amen? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It comes naturally. It comes naturally. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Who? Those who obey my commandments from a heart of love. Jesus doesn't manifest himself to anyone. But he does manifest himself. There's extreme cases, yes, I know about those. I'm talking in general here. Jesus manifests himself to those who are committed to his ways, who are surrendered to his will. He reveals himself in a very personal way to people who seek his glory and want to do his will. Now, let's look at John 8, 35 to 36. Is Jesus speaking here? Red letters. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Do you think that Jesus knows the word? Yeah? That's a pretty safe yes. Okay? Just in case you were wondering. Why? Because he is the word. Yeah? Jesus knows the word. So he is the word. Now Jesus is talking here. He's talking about a slave. Now do you think that Jesus knew about the 6-year rule of a slave? After 6 years, can you remember the 6-year rule? You've already forgotten that. Yeah? Forgotten that? You need to take notes, buddy. Or listen to the sermon again afterwards. Jesus knew about the 6-year rule. And therefore, he says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. Why? Because he's being set free after 6 years. Praise God. But the son remains forever. Is Jesus referring maybe here to the law of the bondservant? Where he's saying that, you know what? If you're a slave, yes, you can go after 6 years. But if you're a bondservant, you're coming back into my house. And you stay in my house forever? As a what? A son. What Jesus is revealing to us here, a bondservant doesn't stay a servant, he becomes a son. He becomes a son in the house of Adonai. That's why John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus is the door into the kingdom of heaven. And when we come as bondservants to this door, to Jesus, and we allow our ears, in a spiritual sense, to be pierced into the door of Jesus, we become sons in God's family. So my friends, if we truly want to be free, we need to give up our freedom. When we surrender our will, when we surrender our plans, when we surrender our desires, and we attach ourselves to this door, to Jesus, and we forever become his obedient bondservants, obeying him, not because we have to, but because we love him, then we are free indeed. And it's quite ironic that those who seek their own freedom, those who cling to their own freedom, put themselves in bondage. They stay in bondage. The reason why so many Christians today are still in bondage is because they pursue their own desires. They pursue their own will at the expense of the will of God. But those who surrender their will, those who surrender their desires unto this good master, get the freedom that they always desire. How it works in the kingdom of God. Give away and you'll get more. Simple principle that recurs over and over and over again. So to the bond servants, Jesus is saying, John 15:14-15. Maybe the band can come up. Thank you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. Jesus said, you're not a servant then any longer. I've made you a friend. The word friend there is philos. Philos means dear covenant friend. Intimate buddy. In a very respectful way. You become a dear covenant friend when you're part of my household. When you are my bondservant and I'm your master. You become a son in my house. And that what I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Made known to you. Not to the religious crowd. Not to the nominal Christian. Not to the person who thinks that he or she knows better than God. But to the one who has surrendered to his will. Can we just stand? Father, you alone are God. And we surrender to your will. We thank you, Lord God, that you have opened up a way for us into heaven, into the kingdom. That you've given us a way to be with you forever. We worship you for that, Lord. Just while all eyes are closed, just focus on Jesus. Sitting on the throne, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who's coming back in splendor and power. The one who will demand an account for our lives because he is king. He's not a puppet that we can control, manipulate as we see fit. He is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. So while you focus on him, I just feel it in my heart. I felt in the previous service as well that there are people here that are still committed to their own ways. You're not committed to the will of God. You're not committed to his kingdom. You're not committed to his purposes for your life. Some of you don't have a clue what his purpose for your life is, but you do want to find out. I believe God is saying he will reveal his purpose to you as you come to him with a surrendered heart. As you come to him, giving up your will and trust him with your will. That his will may manifest through you. God says, if you trust me, I cannot disappoint. But give me your desire. Give me your will. Allow me to use that for my glory. God is committed to his glory, my friends. He's not committed. Some people feel it's all about me. God is committed to me. God has a plan for me. God says, I'm committed to my glory. First and foremost.
and everyone that is aligned with my glory, to them I commit unconditionally. God cannot disappoint. But the reason why we hold on to our desires is because we do not trust the Father with our desires. God says, let it go. Because in eternity you will see and you will understand and you will worship me forever. Because of what I've done for you when you came to the place of surrender. Father, I pray that we will be a church that is surrendered to your will. That do not surrender out of obligation, but out of love. I pray, Lord God, for every heart, Lord, that feels that they are obligated to do whatever. I pray, Lord, that you will come and wash our hearts clean from that what is not aligned with your will and your ways. I pray, Lord God, that you will give us the strength to walk away from that that is not of you. I come against all double-mindedness in the name of Jesus. I declare every mind to be in line with the will of God in the name of Jesus. I declare the blood of Jesus over every mind in this room. To think heavenly thoughts. To be focused on you, Jesus. That our minds will be in line with your desires. What you want for us. While all eyes are still closed, I just want to see, are there people here? We're going to ask you to come to the front. We're just going to do a prayer, a quick prayer, and trust God that He will start a process of rejuvenation and a process of cleansing and a process of changing hearts. Are there people here that you're feeling you are not pursuing wholeheartedly the ways of God, but you are pursuing your own will, you're pursuing your own freedom, you've succumbed to what culture throws at us, and I should have this and I should have that, and that's actually clouded your mind. We've become self-absorbed, self-centered, and you're just focusing on your own stuff, and God is somehow out of the picture at the moment, but you want that to change. Can you just quickly raise your hands? Thank you. You can lower your hands. Father, I thank you for every person that's responded. I pray, Lord God, that you will come and that you will do your work amongst your people. We come against the weed of this world in Jesus' name. Every care of this world, we stand against that in the name of Jesus. Because the Word said that our Father will take care of us no matter what. Your word is true because all things work together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. Every single thing will work together for good, Lord. Jesus, you say in Matthew 6, we will not have a lack, Lord God. You look after the birds in the sky. You look after the flowers and those flowers were that Solomon, in all his glory, in all his splendor, doesn't even compare, Lord God, with the flower that you have created. So how much more will you look after your people? I pray, Lord God, every person who's responded, just pray a prayer of repentance, Lord God. Saying, Lord God, we admit that we were wrong in our ways. We admit, Lord God, that we've pursued desires that were not from you. We declare that, Lord God. Say we're sorry and we turn away from that. And I pray, Lord God, that your desire will grow in my heart. That your purposes, Lord God, will be my obsession. That I want to see your kingdom come. Father, we come as bondservants in your house and we declare, Lord God, that we are committed to see you prosper, to see your kingdom prosper, to see your house prosper, Lord God. We are surrendered to you and you alone, Lord God. Not to the Joneses, not to, Lord God, whatever other other people are telling us, Lord God. We're not submitted to theories and doctrine, Lord God, that's just sidetracking us from you. We surrender to you and your purposes. We've got to we surrender our will to you. We desire to meet with you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that as we walk, Lord God, in this state of surrender, that we will see you, Jesus. That we will walk into your presence, Lord God, and in your presence we are changed. That in your presence, Lord God, as you speak to us, that we will go out, Lord God, and do what you have called us to do. Not by our might, not by our power, but by your Spirit, Lord God. Because we know we can't do this in our own strength. We need you. We're sorry, Lord God, for the things that we've allowed to come in your way. And I thank you, Lord God, that every weed that has been sown on this path, we speak death to its roots now in Jesus' name. And everything will become clear again. There will be no more confusion, Lord God, about destiny. There will be no more confusion, Lord God, about purpose, Lord God. But you reveal your purpose to every life in this building. That you will reveal what is your purpose, what is your desire, and how you will manifest yourself through whatever you have called your people to. And I pray, Lord God, that whatever we do, that we do it for your glory.
Listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is